cannot separate them. You cannot separate Redeemer from the very great and precious promises found in the Word. So I want to really dwell this morning on his divine power as revealed in Redeemer. And how do the scriptures that I read last week, John chapter 1 is Jesus as a creator, Colossians chapter 1 is Jesus as a creator, it's really beautiful and fascinating what happens in those very scriptures. That what does John add on? John chapter 1, Jesus is the creator. He's through him all the worlds were created. Colossians chapter 1, he's the image of the invisible God. And then both John and Paul and the entire New Testament, they tie in creator and redeemer. It's beautiful. And one of the things that hit me this morning, that there are some sermons that take notes and we, you know, there are a lot of connections. And you do whatever the Lord is speaking to you. I know I pay attention better if I write notes. If I'm listening to a sermon, I like to write notes. This may be one that just let the Word wash over you. Because I'm going to read a lot of Scripture today. And this is one I think that you just kind of need to take as a whole. And so don't worry about trying to catch up or see it. But just let the Scriptures, let it wash over you like water. Paul in Ephesians, in the prayer that he prays for them in Ephesians chapter 1, he says, may the Father of glory give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he's called you and his glorious inheritance in the saints. The beautiful way to pray, because you would think that he would pray that we would know our glorious inheritance. But Paul doesn't pray that. He says, may you know that we are his glorious inheritance in the saints. And what there's a nuance there, and part of him as a redeemer is you all, he died. This one's the creator, is the redeemer, and we are his inheritance. So as I read all of this, it's going to fill all that out. So just let it wash over you like water. In John chapter 1, you have your Bible, flip over there. John chapter 1. I read this last week. Look at what John does. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Profound. Absolutely profound. He takes Genesis chapter 1, and Jesus was there. He's the Word through whom all things were created. But does he end there? He doesn't. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let's get down to verse 9. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. He's a creator, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. See what John does there? Talks about Jesus as the creator, and it's not enough. He says, but he's also the redeemer. He came into the world, yet the world did not. It's one of the more sad scriptures in all of the Bible. The world did not, they didn't recognize him. But he came, and he offered grace, and he offered truth. And Paul does the same thing in Colossians chapter 1. Look over there. Colossians chapter 1. Talked about this last week. Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. It's profound. We don't, you know, gravity, we don't go spinning off this planet because Jesus holds it all together. It's amazing. He's a creator. He does that. Is that all? Paul goes on. He's the head of the body of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If you struggle with the forgiveness of sins, write that down, highlight that thing, memorize that. He died on the cross. Why? To present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. He's the creator, but he's also the redeemer. And the New Testament writers make that very, very clear. They tie in, it's right on the heels, creator, redeemer, reconciler, through his body and through his blood. And none of the letters are more beautiful than Hebrews. As I've looked at Hebrews and just keep meditating on this book, this may be the next book. This may be where we're going, church. This book is just amazing. Hebrews. Look at Hebrews chapter 1. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he created the world. The writer of Hebrews tying in the scriptures, prophets have talked about him, and he created the world. Verse 3, he's the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. The writer of Hebrews talks about the word of God. The prophets in the Old Testament talks about that, talks about Jesus as creator, and it talks about him as Jesus as the reconciler. He's the one that died on the cross for the purification of our sins. Absolutely beautiful. Do you see the theme? Creator, redeemer. And how does that tie back to 1 Peter chapter 1? His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him, Jesus Christ, through whom we have these very great and precious promises. There's a tie-in with the word of God. His divine power, he's done it, you all. He's done it. He created, he brought redemption through his blood. But how do we know that? We know it through the word of God. As I was preparing the sermon and finalizing it last night, I was like, wow, I have way too much. We could be here for hours. Because I was going to talk about some of the promises in the Old Testament. What are these great and precious promises? I'm just going to highlight a few of them. But do we understand? Do we really get it? That Jesus is the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament. He's the fulfillment of everything that's in there. And so I want us to just take a cursory, broad swath of looking at these very great and precious promises. And they tell about Jesus. And they prophesy about what he's going to do. And let's just look at a few of them. What are these very great, and these very precious promises? We're just last Sunday in Advent. We could, oh, not Advent, Epiphany. I can still go here. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. This is a very great and precious promise. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Matthew quotes that verse in Matthew 1:23, and he says, behold, and he quotes that verse, and all that's a great and precious promise. God fulfilled that in Jesus Christ. Another one, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders. That's a good word, right? Government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Very great, precious promises. Isaiah chapter 53. I'm going to start in verse 3. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and as one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. And they made his grave with the wicked and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many and makes intercession for the transgressors. Flip over to Matthew chapter 27. These are very great and very precious promises. Matthew chapter 27. Just encourage you just to listen. Let this wash over you. I'm going to start. Verse 24. So when Pilate saw that he was gaining nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourselves. And all the people answered, his blood be on us and on our children. Then he released for them Barabbas, and having scourged Jesus, delivered him to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole battalion before him. And they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and put a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they spit on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him and led him away to crucify him. And as they went out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. They compelled this man to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they offered him wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his garments among them by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Then two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him, saying, "He who saved others can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he desires him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who were crucified with him also reviled him in the same way. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness all over the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, "This man is calling Elijah." And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, "Wait, let's see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, "Truly, this was the Son of God." There were also many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea, named Joseph, who was also a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be given to him. And Joseph took the body and wrapped it in a clean linen shroud and laid it in his own new tomb, which he had cut in the rock. And he rolled a great stone to the entrance of the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were there, sitting opposite the tomb. It's very great and precious promises. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Surely, borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was his chastisement that brought us peace. And by his wounds, we are healed. He's very great, precious, promises. Ile, ile, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus said that on the cross. You know why he did that? He was forsaken. God the Father couldn't look on him. Did you know he's quoting scripture? Did you know that it was the way a rabbi would teach is they would quote the first line of the scripture. They would quote scripture, and they would expect their students to know what followed that. You think Jesus was doing that on the cross? Flip over to Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me from the words of my groaning? Oh, my God, I cry. cry by day, but you do not answer. And by night, but I find no rest. Yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were rescued. In you they trusted and were not put to shame. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by mankind and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet you are he who took me from the womb. You made me trust you at my mother's breast. On you was I cast from my birth, and from my mother's womb you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water. All of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death, for dogs encompass me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They've pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far off. O you, my help, come quickly to my aid. Deliver my soul from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the mouth of the lion. You've rescued me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you offspring of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised or abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, and he has not hidden his face from him, but he has heard when he cried out to him. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will perform before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. All of the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the ones who could not keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord and to the coming generation. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn, that he has done it. Very great and precious promises. Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me on the cross? Quoting Psalm 22. Where does Psalm 22 end? It ends in victory. It ends in hope. It ends that all the ends of the earth are going to come. Jesus was prophesying from the cross, and my God, why have you forsaken me? He's saying that he's going to rise again, that he's a redeemer, that he's the king. Very great and precious promises. He's the creator through whom all things were created. He was a redeemer. He was the Lamb of God who was slain from the foundation of the world. The writer of Hebrews, April, you're making that up. Come on. You're stretching it. Flip over to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Thank you. it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Skip down to verse 10. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. That is why he's not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise. He's quoting Psalm 22, Paul. Jesus is our Redeemer. How can we neglect such a great salvation? I've struggled. That's one aspect that I continually pray, Lord, I want to know more of you as Father. I want to know you as everlasting Father. I want to know your love. And quite honestly, I got really annoyed in my 20s and in my 30s. I would hear people talk about the love of God. Brennan Manning, if you've never read Brennan Manning, you should. Ragamuffin Gospel, Abba's Child. Margaret Dirkelson, a blessed saint who talked about the love of the God. And you know what they would do? I would read their books, I would go and hear them speak, and they would talk about the love of God. But they would quote all of these Old Testament promises. Jeremiah 31:3, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with my loving kindness. They would quote that Isaiah scripture, though your sins are like scarlet, you can be white as snow. And all these beautiful promises of love in the Old Testament. But I would search the New Testament, because I'm like, but we're new covenant people. We're a new covenant. I want to know that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, do we have a lot of Jesus loves me in the Gospels? I would read the Gospels, and Jesus, y'all, Jesus is pretty tough. You read the Gospels, you know? He's going after the religious folk. And I'd read the Gospels and be like, well, I don't really see Jesus loves me here, man. He's going after the religious. I don't see it. See it in Romans 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. But there was this disconnect for me. And it annoyed me. And I was like, Lord, I don't understand. You have these promises in the Old Testament. But then Jesus, and he comes, and he's kind of harsh to the religious people. And Lord, I don't get it. If you got a Valentine, those of you who are married, those of you who are in a relationship, if you get a Valentine from your spouse, I love you. I love you. And they're saying all these nice things in the Valentine, but they don't ever show that to you. Does that Valentine mean much? They don't back it up? No, that's just rude. And that's cruel. God has given us his very great and his very precious promises. But does he just give us promises and not act? In Revelation 4 about him being the creator. And we can look outside, and I hope we stand in awe of him as a creator. We need to do that. We need to remember him as a creator. But if that's all you know him as, you don't know him. Because he's also the Redeemer, the one who made the earth. He became one of us. And it's the blood of the new covenant. Hebrews chapter 9, Hebrews chapter 10. They had to offer sacrifices again and again and again and again. The blood of goats and bulls in the Old Testament, because it never could atone for the sin. But when God sent his Son, the very Lamb of God, he shed his blood once for all. Jesus died on the cross because he loves us. And he wanted a relationship with us. He suffered. died, but even on the cross, in great agony and great pain, my God, why have you forsaken me? Jesus says, I declare, I want to praise your name, Holy Father, in the midst of my brothers. We are his brothers, you all. He did that for us because he wants a relationship with us. May we not just know him as creator, but may we know him as redeemer, as one who loves us, who promised these very great and precious promises in the old, but he didn't just say it and break his promises. He kept his promises in sending Jesus. And we can encounter him, and we can know him. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians that every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Every promise. Is that just some promise? Well, I'll give you peace half of the time. I'll give you joy sometimes. You can have living hope, but it's only when your circumstances are good. No, every promise is yes and amen in Christ Jesus. When Paul prayed that we would, that the inheritance, that his glorious inheritance in the saints, when he sent his son to die for us, you all, he wants a relationship with his people. And the full inheritance that Jesus died to give us, it's righteousness, peace, and joy. It's all of it. And the full inheritance. And so often we settle for a little bit inheritance. We have a little bit of peace. We have a little bit of healing. Well, I know he forgives my sins, but man, I'm really struggling with unforgiveness. I'm really struggling with condemnation. That's not the fullness of what Jesus died for. It's the fullness of it. And so I want to remember this morning, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. Where is it that you need these very great and precious promises? If you are struggling with forgiveness and you really, there's condemnation and you're struggling with that, Jesus, he died to wipe it clean. It's either true or it isn't. He can either wash it white as snow or he can't. But he can. It's done in him. And we need to not neglect. We need to remember this very great, as the writer of Hebrews says. How do we know that? We just keep meditating on the scriptures. Remember who he is. And remember what he has done. You really struggle with forgiveness. There's hatred in your heart. Every day you've got thoughts of what people have done to you. And you really struggle with forgiveness. What do you need to do? You need to look at Jesus. You need to read Isaiah 53. Remember what he's done for you. And as we remember and as we receive, God, help me to receive your forgiveness and receive your love. It's only in doing that that we're able to forgive other people. You really struggle with his love. You really struggle with him feeling far away. What do you need to do? You need to focus on Jesus. Isaiah 53, Matthew chapter 27. Remember what he's done. Remember what he's done. The promises, all of them, are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Where do you need to know more of what Jesus did for you? Whether it be in your emotional life, whether it be in your marriage, whether it be in your relationship with other people, where do you need him? Just want to be quiet before the Lord right now. a right and good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth, from everlasting to everlasting, you alone are God. You created light out of darkness and brought forth life on the earth. You formed us in your image and breathed into us the breath of life. When we turned away and our love failed, your love remained steadfast. You delivered us from captivity, made covenant to be our sovereign God, and spoke to us through your prophets. So with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Say with me, holy, holy, holy,
God of power and might,
heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom you revealed yourself, our light and our salvation. In his baptism and in table fellowship, he took place with sinners. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Get the bread. Amen. Get the bread. What is it you need Jesus to be to you today? What is it? Do you need assurance of salvation? Do you need assurance of his love for you? Do you need peace? Do you need joy? Are you struggling right now? What is it you need? As we take that bread, that's his edges of humanity.